If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Allman.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. One of these days, I'm going to remember that without tripping over it.
It should flow right out of your mouth.
It should. It's not like my first day on the job here. So anyway, it's Saturday of November 30th today.
Post
Thanksgiving.
Did you eat a lot?
I ate a fair amount. I usually do.
What's your favorite?
Turkey skin.
Oh, skin. Yeah. Okay. The reason I asked was, you know, Wednesday Wisdom last week was on potatoes.
And then, It's hard to go wrong with mashed potatoes and stuffing. I remember we used to spend Thanksgiving at my grandparents' house all the time, and she would cook all of the family recipes from back in Nebraska for Thanksgiving. God, it was insanely good.
It's probably not as healthy as today's, but probably a lot more fat in it, I would think.
Yeah, but you know what?
A lot more butters and stuff.
But
I love it.
But they were not obese people.
No, they weren't.
But then I listened to the stories that my grandfather told me about working on the farm back there.
And that's
now that's why they weren't. Exactly. And that's why they needed to have 5,000 calories for breakfast. So it's a different time these days. In both of the stores, trees and poinsettias, wreaths have come in. Everything's looking really nice this year. It should be a good season. The weather's been cooperating so far, although I think are we going to catch some of the tail of that?
It keeps varying. When I looked at it earlier in the week, we were supposed to have some rain, last week on just before Thanksgiving, and that keeps getting pushed. So I don't know when we're going to see any.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure myself. There's not really much going on in Balboa Park except for December 6th and 7th is December nights throughout Balboa Park and at the Casa del Prado. Jungle Bell starts December 7th, I believe, at the zoo. So if you want to go, that's usually, they do a pretty nice job with that. We've gone the last couple of years.
I think we've gone the last 3 or 4 years as well.
Yeah, they do a very nice job with that. Lightscape up at the San Diego Botanical Garden is ongoing now through January 5th. It's been a long time since I've been to SeaWorld over the Christmas holidays, but they used to do it up really big, and I've been seeing more TV commercials for them. So it might be worth checking them out for the holiday too. But it's been a long time since I've been to SeaWorld. So I'm not sure what all has changed there. Let's see. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at gardentalkradio@walteranderson.com. Remember that Anderson is spelled S-E-N. And we would be happy to take your questions and suggestions and talk about things on the show. As a matter of fact, we have a question coming up in just a little bit that we're going to be going over that was emailed to us. We also have a Facebook page, Garden Talk Radio by Walter Anderson Nursery on Facebook. You can follow us there as well.
And I'd also add that we also have the, that was a double also. We also have our regular Walter Anderson webpage.
The main page.
Main Facebook page. It's called Walter Anderson Nursery Main.
Main, yeah, because there's
a couple other
Walter Anderson feeder pages, one for Poway and one for San Diego specifically, but those pages just feed you to the main page, which is plenty to try to keep track of just on its own, having to do them for each store as well. So
we do have a lot of useful information there. The Wednesday Wisdom makes it over there from the Garden Talk page, as well as if there are any items that are coming up, bare root fruit trees, poinsettias, things that come in that are unique, we start putting them on that page.
Yeah.
Get a heads up so you can get in here and get them and get your best selection.
Yeah. And if you don't get our email newsletter, you can always sign up for that at walteranderson.com. There's a button that you can click, put in your email address, and that'll put you on our monthly mailing list. If you decide you want to get off of it, the unsubscribe is very easy to get get away from it as well. But that month, that comes out every month and is loaded with a lot of good and timely information. Let's see. Did you have the email from?
I do.
From, I can't remember the,
Karen.
The listener's name.
Yeah, Karen. We had a listener named Karen last week wrote and said that George has talked about leaving rat traps out in the garden to help control the population. How do you prevent other critters from getting caught in the traps? And she added that it was heartbreaking to catch birds and once even a baby possum. I think I was unclear. I keep the traps in the garden all the time, but not necessarily
not set.
I keep them out there so the scent is never changed, and the rats, who are very inquisitive and shy sometimes, if you just throw something out, they don't necessarily run to it. So I leave them out there in the garden, and then when I have an issue, I will set it almost in place where it's sitting. I might move it a couple feet underneath a tomato plant or something with the tomato that was eaten that day, and 9 times out of 10, we catch the culprit. It's important to know what you are trying to get, if it's a rat or a mouse, because a mouse or even a juvenile rat would not necessarily trigger the rat traps, mm-hmm. especially the black plastic ones. I also have put them along a fence line with a board, like a piece of plywood or something, to help prevent birds from getting into it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I've never had any issues catching anything else. I usually check them daily if I am going to have one set to make sure I didn't catch anything, or mm-hmm. if there is something there, to get rid of it so I can reset it if necessary.
Yeah, I caught a bird once, but fortunately I was able to get it loose without any hopefully serious damage. It took off like a rocket once its foot was sure. out of the trap. The other thing that I'll do too sometimes is if there's rat or mouse activity in a specific area, I'll take an empty 1 gallon can, set the trap, and then slide it into the can. And so
it's a
big opening. So a decent sized animal can get it, a decent sized rat could get into it, but it's not as visible
to others. So, you know, last week we spoke with Farmer Roy a little bit about that as well on his property, and mm-hmm. they use a lot of the traps everywhere. So he's a big fan of using different items mm-hmm. throughout the garden.
Now, when you set your manual traps, do you wear gloves when you do it?
I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, my hands, typically by the time I get to that point, my hands are filthy from working in the garden.
There's going to be enough smelly stuff on them.
And I'm picking the tomatoes that they just ate, or a peach that they just ate, and I've got all that juice on me anyway. So no, I don't typically wash my hands. I think if I washed my hands, they would have the scent of the soap as opposed to my, you know, dirt compost and tomato plant.
Yeah. Yeah. We constantly are battling rodent infestations here mostly inside the store. Very little damage that I've ever seen outside the store, but inside the store, they tend to go after birdseed.
Oh, absolutely.
and a serious issue with it. And so we decided we were going to we had seen some rat and rodent repellents advertised. So I thought, you know what, that what we're doing isn't working that great, so let's go ahead and give that a shot. And we did. And then I was talking to James, our store manager, about it. And he said they loved it. He said he thinks it was actually worse after we put the repellent down than it was before. So you had an interesting article that you had come across as far as repellents are concerned.
Well, excuse me. It wasn't an article. Well, it is an article, but it's from the UCIPM, University of California Integrated Pest Management. And it basically said that they may work very short term, but that's it. And there are no known effective rat or mice repellents registered in the state of California.
Yeah.
So essentially it's a waste of money.
Well, that's interesting that you say registered in the state of California. That makes me wonder if there are good ones.
Fair point. But that may do work. But I would think on the UC site, if they had anything, they would say,
would have said something,
at least gave you a title of something or a product that may work.
Well, I think people at one time were using, I know they used to use it as a cat repellent was mothballs, which God, I can't remember what the chemical is in that, but it's a pretty potent chemical. And I think people were trying to use that for mouse and rat repellent as well. But I don't know that, obviously it doesn't sound like it's very effective from the information that you've been able to glean.
I think we've spoke of it before too. Some people will use mint and, you know, want to put peppermint and things like that. But I had a mint patch, a huge mint patch with a plum tree in the middle. And I watched rats go up the plum tree to get the plums through the mint. So it wasn't that much of a deterrent.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Yeah, there's not, I've never been able to find anything that, that deters them.
There are people that say they use some of the dryer sheets inside car bays if they're having issues with rats chewing on wires and stuff, but I don't know if there's anything scientific behind that or if it's anecdotal.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't. I would have thought that there again, I would have thought that maybe the UC site would have mentioned something about it, but or maybe they can't because it's not
labeled for
it's
that
not
use.
Labeled for that use.
When it comes to cars, UC IPM suggests getting a car cover and securing it all the way around your car, weighted at the bottom so that rodents can't get in.
Well, that's good. That's a cover that's got to go all the way to the ground.
Exactly. And that's an extreme measure.
Yeah. We had that problem with our Suburban here at work. The air conditioning quit. We took it in and it was completely packed with a rat nest. It had gotten into it somehow. So I'm still not sure how they figured that one out, but they did. I know up in the Sierra, you have to be careful if you're going for an extended hike and you park your car at a trailhead. They tell you when you come back, inspect your car very closely before you take off, because marmots will get under the hood and they'll chew on wires, they'll chew on brake lines. They can cause some serious problems that you want to find out before you start the car moving.
Especially with brake lines, which I would find difficult to believe that they could damage a brake line.
The rubber parts, the rubber on the front.
Yeah, you'd
line.
Want that before you're coming out of the Sierras.
Yeah. Definitely so.
Well, one of the things that we're going to have shortly is Abraxas High School.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're going to have Bob talking.
Bob Ledekins from Abraxas is going to be joining us in the next segment.
Which is huge if you've ever driven past it or are familiar with it.
Yeah.
As far as what they do with agriculture and aquaponics and construction and economics and a host of other things for those kids.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous.
Well, let's take a break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with George Allman. We're going to be back with more right after this.
There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with George Allman. We have a special guest today. It's Bob Ledekins from Abraxas High School in Poway. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we're happy to have you. You have been with Abraxas for how long now?
I've been teaching biology and agriculture for the last 25 years.
Wow.
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you. It's much appreciated. Tell us a little bit about the school.
Well, the school is a continuation program, which is basically an alternative education to our other five high schools in the district. We have pretty big high schools with quite a big population, and just some of the kids that fall through the education system are just not working for them, end up at our place. And what I like to say, it's kind of a different name. It's called Abraxas. In the very first class, had the opportunity to name the school. It's 1971.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it went back that far.
Yeah. So exactly. So they named it after a Santana album, which fits us perfectly. Abraxas. And so that's kind of, I've been taking kids on that just want to crank a wrench or just want to, just want to move through school, have ideas what they want to do or just didn't fit in. And so a lot of hands-on learner and visual learners. And so we just have a really strong staff and, it's a fun school. We're able to do education the way we feel it should be done.
Oh, that's outstanding. So you have a lot of hands-on classes.
Yes.
All kinds of subjects or?
Yeah, straight across the board. I mean, project-based learning, if you find something that you grab a hold on to, you're able to work on it and learn, create your own learning space.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
Now you're involved with the garden at Abraxas too, correct?
I am.
And what's your involvement with that?
Well, 7 days a week. 20, I mean, if we all know gardening, yeah. I mean, it never really ends. We started the garden in 2015, and basically the district, and so we're on a tennis court, 7,200 square feet of whatever a tennis court is. And mm-hmm. so it's been, the district didn't want to resurface it. So we said, can we do a garden? So they said yes. And so we started a construction class, an ag class, and I got involved in the aquaponics end of the deal. And then within 2 years, both my colleagues retired. So,
so it's all yours.
2017, I would say, 2018. I'm kind of rusty on dates, but all of a sudden it was mine. And, you know, took some shortcuts, watched a lot of YouTube, and really developed a space for our kids to work.
Well, I know that when we drive past it, it's a gorgeous facility. It's lush and everything looks really good there. And you also come here about once a week or so to purchase plants, and your kids there do a phenomenal job. So can you touch on, well, first off, you said your degree's in biology, right?
Yes.
And then you got your teaching credential?
Yes.
But go back a little bit before that. You did something that you wouldn't expect that you'd be teaching at Poway.
That's right. Well, I played baseball with the San Diego Padres for 7 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And blow my shoulder, I was a catcher. I was, I was behind Benito Santiago and Sandy Alomar and Mark Parent.
Yeah.
And I was at Qualcomm one day. I knew that it had come to an end. And I was sitting, you know, Jack McKeon were in an office, and he says, Bobby, we'd love to have you coach or if you'd like to. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to move on. And so I was in San Diego and I didn't know what to do. And so then I did several other things. You know, I, you know, went into physical therapy and seeing if I was like it. And ultimately I ended up at Poway High School. Was coaching the varsity baseball team from, like, I would say 96 to, you know, early 2000s. And I started making contact with these kids and, you know, figuring out that I could reach them. And I said, you know, teaching might be my spot.
Might be their calling.
It might be the calling. I just have, you know, and so it's perfect for me because these kids, our kids, just basically need to be picked up and dusted off and kind of pointed in the right direction, or they just learn differently. So coaching, the way I was coached, it's more like a coaching position to get them pointed in the right direction. So it's been really a good fit for me over at Abraxas.
Well, that's outstanding. How much of the garden is, now you said you came in for the aquaculture. Is that still a part of the garden?
Very big. It's actually grown very much since I first started it. I started it with 26 fish in a Walmart pond. I mean, a Walmart above ground pool. And figured it out, and ultimately we cut a hole in the tennis court, mm-hmm. 15 by 15, and jackhammered it. And this is all kids. Everything in there was built by a student. We wanted to teach them masonry, so we cut a hole in 15 by 15, jackhammered, dug it down 6.5 feet, and now we have an 8,000-gallon pond with about 250 tilapia.
6.5 feet? That's deep.
Yeah, very deep. Mm-hmm. Well, we poured the bottom. Listen, if there's a threat of nuclear war, you jump in that pool. We have more concrete. It is like four times as sturdy as it needs to be. So
it's a little over-engineered?
A little over-engineered, you know. People are a little worried once you get to deal with schools. But, we built the pond, and we taught the kids how to plumb it, and we taught them how to form it up, and then we built some concrete lettuce beds, and, you know, it's ready to withstand the test of time.
Well, that's good. How many fish are you up to now? Do you have a count?
Well, I mean, it's a little loose, but I mean, we're thinking like 250. Very big. We grow tilapia. We have tilapia there. We don't really eat the fish. We're not in the fish business. We have made fish tacos, but generally they're there to just produce nutrients to grow our aquaponic setup, which is quite big. And, you know, we donate. So 80% of the food that we grow, we donate to needy families in the district.
I was going to ask you where the food goes that you produce there, because it's got to be a pretty substantial amount.
Yes,
over the course of the season.
We're growing about 2 tons a year. Most of it's a lot of leafy greens and lettuce. I mean, we're donating close to 12,000 heads of lettuce a year. And so we donate probably, I don't know, 350 a week. It's very satisfying. These, you know, oftentimes I always say it's the kids are the least, always want to give the most, you know, so we take them through the whole process from seed to, you know, growing it and then giving it away. And now we actually, over COVID, we built an outdoor kitchen. So we have a culinary program where the kids literally go into the garden, pick what's fresh, and walk over to the other side of the garden and cook it.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, thank you.
That's really neat.
So you have the aquaponic side, and then yes. You have an agriculture side where you're doing it in soil.
Exactly.
How so much soil do you do?
We have 40 raised beds, eight by four raised beds. So quite a bit of produce. I mean, we stock them full. I mean, they're loaded right now with everything from beets, bok choy, broccoli. You know, whatever's growing right now. We still have some tomatoes up that we plant late in the season. But I would teach the kids how to grow food, in soil, because that's more likely what they're going to see. And I, tell them all, you guys got to figure this out, because, you guys got to learn how to grow food, because a lot of these farmers are, growing food only for livestock. So, urban gardening's on its way.
How many students are involved in the agriculture program?
So I have two classes, mm-hmm. each with 15 kids. And then I also have a group of special needs kids that are adult special needs, 18 to 22. And basically mm-hmm. the state, we have a pretty big program on our campus, and they come in and they have jobs. They have specific jobs that they go about, whether they're going to Phil's Barbecue or they, Walmart or wherever they go. And in the garden, they have jobs too. So they plant seeds and sweep. And so that's another 8 a day. And so there's quite a few people out there. And so there's a lot, it never ends,
Oh no, it's constant.
Exactly.
It's constant.
So I have two classes full of 15. And so about 150 kids go through the program every year. So I'm sending out 150 kids that know how to grow food, which I think is a real positive.
No, I think that's fantastic. Now the aquaculture side of it, it's not hydroponics. It's just the fish.
Well, hydroponics is just growing food, not in a different soil.
Exactly, in a different medium.
Yeah. So basically, we just use the fish as the engine. Plus, I'm biology, so we use them to breed. If we need more fish, we can catch a male or a female, put them in a tank, and figure it out. Raise more fish.
Okay.
And then I also have kids work. Some kids want to come learn about the chemistry, water chemistry. So I walk them through that, and then so there's it's just a big lab.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's
when cool. You think about all the different disciplines that you're touching on going through this, I mean, that really is an incredible program.
No, that program itself, I mean, and it's, a lot of times, a lot of it comes from the kids themselves. I mean, I'll have a guy that says, hey man, let's learn some solar. I taught the kids solar. So we have solar running a lot of the pumps. I have, right now we're working on a project where we're actually going to get a camera, underwater camera in there. And so if any of our other kids that may be high autistic or something have an issue, we could just run a website underwater, see the fish, calm everybody down, type of webcam.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that come out of it that kids find interesting. And so, I mean, that garden's won, high school garden of the year 3 times. And we've won some pretty big accolades out of it. And it's just turned really into a huge passion for me, and the kids can feel it. And so they buy in and they love it.
Well, you can see the garden from Pomerana Road. I don't remember the cross street, but it's right on the corner.
Yeah. It used to be a tennis court. And, yeah. and when we went to go build it, the only guy I ever saw playing tennis, he goes, "You're taking my tennis court." Well, let's be honest. Your game wasn't that great. And he's like, "You're right." And so, it's right on the corner of Glen Oak and Poway Road. You drive by, you'll see a bunch of art on the wall. So we have mm-hmm. our art students and I like to do art. And so we put a lot of stuff up there, Eddie Van Halen's guitar, the Rolling Stones, Lips, Turtles, old license plates. It's just kind of the vibe of that place is just really relaxing. You go
it's very
in there,
eclectic.
It's very eclectic. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that is very cool. That is, I can't tell you how many times I've driven by and looked over and seen it there. It looks very, very impressive. I'll have to come over for a tour one of these days and see it in person.
Well, it's much different inside.
Well, we're going
to
take a
break. Yeah, we need to take a quick break. We're talking to Bob Ledekins from Abraxas High School here in Poway, and we're going to take a break with Garden Talk. We're going to be back with more right after this.
There is more Garden Talk on the way.
Intelligent, conservative, FM 96.1 North County and AM 1170 San Diego. The Answer, streaming at theanswersandiego.com.
Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Almy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with George Almond and our special guest, Bob Letikins from Abraxas High School here in Poway. And he's talking to us about the garden program that they have there and how amazing it actually is. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Where did we leave off? We were talking
about, he had mentioned the word, you said you had website. So you guys have a website, abraxasgarden.com, right?
Yes. Got the website. If anybody's interested in taking a look around, you can see the programs that all intertwine. And with our program, I mean, we have a econ class comes up and does some marketing for us. We have the civics class that kind of talks about how where we donate and how we give back to the community. And then it also talks about our our transition program, what they do. It's kind of it's a website. It's run by students. And so there's also a donor button on there if anybody's interested in helping us out. That's how we raise our money, just through donations and writing grants and, you know, going to Rotary clubs and talking it up, you know.
I was going to ask you about the funding for the garden. So and you said that there's a button on the website to donate, and that goes straight to the garden. It does not go to the school district, correct?
No, absolutely right. One Saturday, there was a guy walking through the garden, and I said, hey, you want a tour? And he walked around and he was looking in and he says, wow, this is super impressive. You know, and it turned out that he was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And he ended up pro bono,
mm-hmm.
Our own personal foundation.
So really?
We're no longer one little line item on a huge district's, payroll. So anything that comes straight to us goes straight into our foundation.
Is awesome. And a 501c3, so it's tax deductible.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's good to know. That's very nice to know that it's going to go straight to you guys where it's going to make a difference.
It really helps. I mean, if a motor goes down on the, in our pond or something, we can buy it the next day. We don't have to wait 3 weeks for someone to look at
maintenance
it.
Maintenance and do the paperwork, et cetera. Yeah. Oh,
but
awesome.
We also write a lot of grants. I mean, we hustle. Everything's a hustle. And especially after COVID, you know, there's not a lot of golf tournaments going on. And that's where all these grants came from. All the grant money used to come from. So we really fight for it.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I've been involved at the Maritime Museum, and they're constantly researching and writing and turning out grants. Keep money coming in. It's a lot. They have a full-time grant writer that's what he does, is just writes grants for the organization. It's out there. You just gotta dig into it and find it and then be articulate enough to convince somebody to give it to you.
with the right cause.
That's correct. If I
could go back, Bob, you had mentioned earlier about, you know, planting seeds, but I do know that you come here regularly and purchase plants as well. Is there a ratio? What do you normally do? How do you plant?
Well, first off, I just want to, you know, hats off to Walter Anderson's. What a killer nursery.
Well,
I mean,
thank you.
Seriously, this is the best nursery in the county for sure. Well, we grow, so our job, we grow food. I mean, we grow food for people and, you know, things harvest at different times, and there's also grow rates. So we start, our philosophy is grow everything from seed. We buy a lot of seeds from all over the country and get everything started. Well, you know, 6 weeks before something goes in the ground, I mean, oftentimes our plants aren't ready and we're ready to move. We don't keep bare beds.
Mm-hmm.
So if we pull, a stack of bok choy, there's another round going right back in. And then if we plant all our seeds, and if we didn't time it right, then, we're out of luck and we miss, you know, a month of growing. Whereas we can come to you guys and get the quality, plants and trees and fertilizer, the natural fertilizers that we use, and the the organic pesticides and stuff that we end up using, if we need it. And so, you guys are a big part of us and you're close, which is really nice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's talk about an empty bed. It's, It's like the airlines. An empty seat on a jetliner isn't doing you any good at all. So, absolutely not. Yeah, you gotta keep it filled.
I was gonna. You said that you grow food for people, and I was thinking at my place we grow food for people at my house. Capri and I, food for people and for animals and rodents and everything. So I was going to ask you about pests. So organic pest control would be for insect stuff. Do you, what about for rodents? You have a rodent problem there. You're fenced in.
Yeah. So we're fenced in. So we have barn cats. We have three cats. One Thanksgiving went away for a week, came back. And I mean, there are probably 100 cauliflower plants that were ready to harvest were just demolished by rats.
Oh.
And I was just sitting there, and this is pathetic. You know, I mean, 80 days in the ground, and then all of a sudden you're going to help feed a bunch of people, and they were just gone overnight.
Yeah.
And the rats always know. They know. And so my wife said, you know what? Let's just get some cats in there. And she was on Instagram or something and saw Love Your Feral Feline. And we got three barn cats that, I mean, we don't have a rodent problem anymore.
That's very cool.
No rodents. But we also have no lizards. We have no birds, anything, but they're super top of the line predators. But as far as like the, pest control, we fight it, I mean, we can, most places can spray something on and knock it out. But, we're like fighting neem oil, BT, anything that has OMRI on it. We fire at it and we do a lot of vinegar and a lot of, just basic stuff. But I do have people, and so we have hands to be out in that garden, whereas, we can fight things off a little quicker.
Yeah, I would imagine that's, you got to be, I mean, not that you shouldn't be careful when you're doing pest control in your garden anyway, but when, especially around kids and keeping things straight,
Now you said OMRI.
Yeah.
But for people that don't know what that is.
Okay, so the way I understand it is that there's a group out of UC Davis way back in like in the early 80s, or this is a story I tell. I mean, I'm sure I'll be corrected by somebody, but basically it's just a group of people that got together early on and started seeing what is healthy to put on your garden in an organic fashion. So it doesn't change, the chemical properties of anything and you're not ingesting poison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they review the ingredients and the materials and just and certify it to
they
be
trace
organic.
It, trace it, right, trace the supply organic. Line all the way back
what
to the
people
origin.
Don't know is most people is it's actually a 501c as well.
Wow. Oh, really?
The Armory group. Yeah.
I did not know that.
So that's cool. So yeah. So basically.
Yeah. So we look for that too. When we're talking to people and when I teach the organic insect control, we talk about, if you want to be organic, you want to look for that.
Yeah. So that's the stamp of approval. And anybody who comes in that garden, I show, that stamp. And so hopefully they carry it on.
So one of the links or pages within your website is recycling. And I assume a lot of that is compost.
Yes.
So what is your compost method? What do you guys do there?
So our compost system is very robust. We have, so basically we have a compost section. And it's the chop zone. We initially started out where we were taking food from the cafeteria. We started, we were like, the idea was to take the food from the school and put it in and just kind of keep it moving. But very quickly, I found out that that's not where we needed to go. There was a lot of meat showing up and like oils and stuff. So we just canned the whole thing. So that our compost section is divided into three 4x4x4 cubes, big, 3-yard cubes. And so everything that we grow in the garden goes back in to our compost system. And the way that we grow is that we change out our soil every crop. So if I grow a bed of 15 heads of broccoli, as soon as that's done, we take the broccoli head off. The culinary program likes to cook with the greens. Mm-hmm. So they'll make a lot of greens out of that stuff. But there's always more greens than we need. That'll get chopped down and it'll get put on the as the next layer onto our compost. And then we'll take our bed and we scrape off 4 inches, and then we put that back into the compost. So all of our soil just gets re-fertilized by itself about every 6 weeks.
I see.
And then we have a guy that, you know, I find out who's into the compost, and he becomes the compost king, and he chop chops.
See the hat that says compost king?
No. Well, I want to get one, but you know, these are teenage kids, and that like messes up the do.
Oh,
you know, so you're not going to really like make a hit on the fashion, you know, the fashion scene. Most of the kids are 17 and 18 year olds there, but you know, they want to work and they want to help and they want to learn. And so, yeah, so our compost, you know, it goes through the process where we actually like measure it, measure temperature daily. And we will have a board that temperature outside, temperature inside, and we're very active, and we really keep a good compost system. Very seldom does it get below 100 degrees. We're usually up in like the active zone. Sometimes we'll even get up in the biochar zone where we're like making some pretty hardy, you know, fixed carbon soils. And we move through it, and it's super robust, and it just moves along the line. We have stage one, stage two, and stage three. Once we get to stage three, we lay our soil out and we sift it through a big screen so it becomes like powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we'll cut that with worm casings and, you know, and chicken manure that I learned from along the way, mostly from Farmer Roy. And then we'll lay it back on top, a bead, and we'll do top farming. So where the water goes down, it just, the nutrients drive down, and we have a really lush, really healthy garden. And that's another thing about pests is that if you're young, if you're growing young, fresh food, they tend to fight off pests. It's like, for whatever reason, they grow fast and healthy.
Yeah, typically, so. A stressed plant's going to be more problematic with pests.
Absolutely, okay. Right.
It's going to be more problematic with pest diseases with
right.
Just about anything.
You know, we have I think you've seen a picture. Oh, Ken, you've been to my house. You've seen mm-hmm. our compost bin. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to yours. It's not quite as big, but it's similar to the big three bays and stuff. But we're not quite as timely about measuring and turning and stuff. So I could use, if your compost king can swing by a couple times a week.
I know.
We need to take a quick break here on Garden Talk. We're going to be back with more right after this.
There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with George Allman. And our special guest, Bob Ledekins from Abraxas High School here in Poway. He runs the garden program over there, which is really quite spectacular. And we've been talking about it for this show. Bob, thanks again for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
When we left, we were finishing up our conversation about the composting operation that you have there. And during the break, I was talking to you briefly about it and how much the composting program probably reduces the amount of fertilizer that you actually have to use, even though you do supplement with fertilizer.
Yes. I mean, we also have a, you know, 12,000 gallon fish program where we can, when we do the backwash and clean out these, clean out our filters, we get about 200 gallons of water that is nitrogen rich mm-hmm. and with a lot of our micronutrients. So we actually hand water our garden, try to do it every 3 weeks with fish, fresh fish emulsion.
Your very own fish emulsion. You yes. should label that and start selling it.
I know.
Market
well,
it.
I'd like to, but then I think the district might come down and want some fish emulsion.
Yes.
Or at it least the funds from it, right?
It sounds like a fish emulsion tea.
It does, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's a great, you have it, have you had it analyzed as I stumble through my words?
I have, but it's been hit or miss with whoever does the analyzing. Okay. So,
I mean, our fish emulsion that we sell, the Alaska, is a 411.
Is it 411? It's either 4 or 5.
It might be 511. It is 511. Yeah. It's the one with the kelp is the 411.
Yeah.
So
I've got a bunch of 511s. I got some 53s. I got some 44s. I'm like, okay, you know, but yeah, but that's about generally it. So it's a really good starter.
Oh, absolutely. Good nitrogen, and, especially for the leafy crops.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. But I do every time I'm rain is on the way. All hands on deck, and I'm passing out some of the grow power and things like that that we have here that will also give the mature plants a nice bump.
Mm-hmm. And what's the variety of crops that you grow? I know you said you're pretty heavy into some of the leaf crops, lettuce and things like that, but what else are you growing? And you mentioned tomatoes as well. Just the whole gamut of...
You name it. So in the summers, we're growing a lot of different peppers. We make a fantastic sriracha. And another great, tomatillos, make a great salsa verde. And
I've had one of the salsas, I don't remember, that you provided to me, which was delicious, but yeah, that was 2 years ago, so I don't remember.
So that, yeah, that was a tomatillo salsa that we sell at a couple of our fundraisers throughout the year. But we grow it all. I mean, we've grown pretty much everything from artichokes to, fava beans.
Do you do a lot of root crops?
Some. I mean, because we like to grow everything at least 6 weeks outside of ground before we put them in. Like in the winter, I'll do carrots because carrots don't transplant very well. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of beets. People love the beets. They love to cook it. They do a lot of things. But tomatoes are king in the summer, along with like bush beans and a lot of those, bell peppers. Bell peppers are, they grow. They're a great food item for people that are food scarce. So our clientele, which is basically 230 families in the district, along with some Alzheimer's clinics, really like the summer food, that the chefs can cook the, whatever's going to be plentiful. As I said earlier, aquaponic side, we do a lot of leafy greens, a lot of green onions, a lot of celery, basil, Swiss chard, ton of lettuce, edamame. And on the other side of the court, which is all soil, we're growing it all from corn to, we grew gross peppers, ghost peppers 1 year. And that was like, my principal came out and says, that's not going to happen again. We got 10 kids in the office right now,
calling their parents.
Exactly. Mommy. Right. Yeah. But then we also have an orchard in the back that, the kids love the fruit. So we have a lot of the, the peaches come out and citrus.
Relatively new.
It's pretty new. I mean, We've had the trees are about 4 to 5 years old, but once in a while, you got to reap. Something's not happening well with the trees. You have to move them, keep those moving as well.
Is there someone else doing that? Or is that also your bellywag?
No, those are ours. Okay. And so, I've had a couple kids actually out there that have learned to arbor and are working for, tree companies right now. And then, which is neat. I mean, these kids, they learn. I mean, I have two working solar. I have had some up here,
Yeah, we've had a couple folks working here at the nursery from
Texas. Yeah. And so then we also have like from the culinary program, we have a couple of contacts in restaurants like out in RB where some people are going and Mama Salas, for instance, takes a couple of our kids and puts them right along with the chefs. So, we're teaching kids different opportunities to find their way.
Yeah. But it just sounds like an outstanding program. And there, like we said, there's so many disciplines that are covered by just working in a garden, whether it's the preparatory work to building things, construction, plumbing, to actually grow solar, and to actually growing the stuff. I mean,
and the economic side too, for those that are selling and purchasing.
Absolutely. So what we have decided to start was we're going to start a farmer's market maybe once a month. And you'll have to check the website for dates. It's mostly going to be run from our special needs program to get them used to like exchanging money and cash and talking to the public, that type of thing. And that'll be interesting to see because we really don't, the mission of our garden is not to sell food.
No.
It does help because, fish food has doubled, and these fish are getting bigger. Mm-hmm. But
it is an education.
Yeah, it's all part of the deal. Right? I mean, these sales runs the world, right? So, so we're still planning on donating a big bulk of our food, though.
That's awesome.
And the website, what's the actual website address?
The actual website is www.abraxasgarden.com, And you can come see what we're doing out there.
That's what you were saying. Usually Saturday mornings between 9 and 11, people can come by and take a look.
Yeah, come on by if you want to take it, you know, see what we're doing out here in Poway. We're in there. It's a harvest day for us a lot of times. So we're in there just kind of working. I'll give you a little show around and you know, what these kids are into.
So on those Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, is that everybody in school, or like each week it's a different group of kids that come in on Saturday, or is it that part of their education is 6 days a week?
No, it's the kids that come in on Saturday are usually mandated by the county of San Diego. But no, it's or they just want to get out of the house, or they just love it. You know, it's a hit or miss. It's open. But no, it's a group of people that have been helping the garden since like day one, and it's kind of their release. So we just go and harvest, and then we have groups in Poway that come around and take our harvest, and they go wash it and they distribute it for us.
Outstanding.
It's a great resource both for the kids, obviously, yes, in school, yeah, and for the community.
Oh yeah. What it turns back into the community as well. Now fish don't live forever.
No.
So where do your fish actually end up?
Well, it all depends.
Mm-hmm.
We don't eat many, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're big now. We had one die last year that would have been a state record. We have a lot of kids that like do like the 3-day fishing trip, you know, like they're on those boats and they're like, wow, you know, they're really into it. It's really, the whole program really teaches the nitrogen system, and it teaches sustainability, and it teaches symbiosis, right? So I'm a biology guy at mm-hmm. heart. So the fish just run their natural life, and if they pass, then we put them in the compost, and yeah, they just, you know, it's a lot of good calcium. You know, there's a lot of other good things. They break down just as well. Sometimes we'll bury them in the bottom of a bed.
Oh, you know, that's like the Native Americans right. used to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. I thought you might feed them to the cats.
Well, the cats, the cats are living pretty large. I mean, they're getting the pig of the litter. When they first got in there, they were really interested in the fish, but the fish are like luring them. I think the fish want the cats. You know,
how big are roughly are the bigger ones?
So I mean, we have some in there that are 4 years old that are probably 10 pounds. Wow. I mean, big fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, big boy.
That's a big fish.
8 to 10 pounds. Very big fish. Yeah. And so, but they love it. They love the fish aspect of it. I mean, it's really, you can see the whole process of how this food is made. And, you know, you just pump it out there. The plants grow quickly because it's aquaponics, right? They don't have to spend the time taking the roots and looking for food. The food comes right to them. The nutrients is absorbed and the water comes back. I've been using the same water over and over for about 4 years. And, you know, we'll teach the kids about evaporation rates in the summer. And it's really pretty neat. Everybody's interested in something, some part of that, whether it's the art class coming out and doing some sketching, the photo class, you know, or it's just someone's having a bad day, then come sit in the corner and read, you know.
Well, you know, interestingly, you just mentioned the evaporation. Your website said that you use 85 to 90% less water than conventional gardening.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, you pour the can in the pot and you come out, you know, 2 minutes later and you can see your water on the ground. Right. You know, that doesn't happen with that aspect
of our closed system.
And what else we do is that we lay down in between our rows and our soil beds. I have drilled holes in all the beds. And so the nutrients, the water, because we just have a regular drip system in there, leaks out onto our straw. And then we just take the straw and put the straw in the compost. So you're catching all the nutrients that are getting pushed out. So it's really.
So your recycling is really recycling.
Yeah. So we actually recycle.
Outstanding.
That is outstanding. Bob, thank you very much for joining us today. We've been talking to Bob Ledekins from Abraxas High School Gardens. If you'd like more information on the garden or you'd like to help them out, you can check them out at abraxasgardens.org or
.com.
Abraxasgarden.com. And you can make a donation there. It is a 501c3 So it is tax deductible. Bob, thank you very much for coming in. This was an outstanding program. I know I certainly learned a lot, and I hope our listeners did too.
Thank you for the support. It was fun.
Yeah, we're glad you're here.
We're happy to do it. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBU and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with George Allman. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticultural news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew, or want to learn more about the show or how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to gardentalkradio@walteranderson.com. That's gardentalkradio@walteranderson.com. Or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at the same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.